Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, soundcloud.com/Steve and Larson, Google Play, iHeartRadio.
But not.
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 Not Spotify.
Definitely not Spotify.
Yet.
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 Yet, maybe it will become WrestleMania.
That's the hope.
Maybe we'll figure things out. This is our own road to Spotify.
There you go.
Here on Going In Raw.
We have a catchphrase now.
We do. The road. We're on the road to Spotify. Officially now, Larson. Because the Royal Rumble was yesterday, and 2 days before that
was... No, the Royal Rumble was Sunday. This is going up Tuesday morning.
All right. Okay. And TakeOver was the day before that.
Saturday. Saturday night.
Saturday. And yeah, we're just good. So we're recording this on Monday. And so that's why this, and we have, so we have the Royal Rumble review with Dan Nerd Cubed is already up.
Yes. You can watch that right now.
You can watch that right now. Fun Wrestling. No. W Steve W went up last night.
Yes. Today we'll have this at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have, our normal Tuesday episode of Going In Raw.
Right.
A Raw review.
Right.
Going up. Probably middle of the afternoon.
Correct.
And then Fun Wrestling. Tonight.
Part of the Fuck Wrestling brand that you guys can get a shirt for at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Yeah.
Incidentally, you can also get a Jeff Jarrett Slapnut shirt. You're wearing that because...
I lost predictions.
You lost predictions, which all started with NXT TakeOver.
Yes. First match.
Yes.
Saw the perfect 10. 10. Ty Dillinger. Take on Eric Young.
Yes, correct. Eric
Young. Sanity.
And my very hard nipples.
I still haven't noticed that.
I like this match. We kind of both called this one.
Yeah.
Eric Young winning via Sanity interference. That's exactly what happened. Ty was able to get off his finisher. He was going for the pin. And Big Damo, what is it? What do they call him?
Killian Dane.
What a terrible name. Him and...
Alexander Wolf
put Eric Young's foot on the bottom rope. I like this. I kind of feel like right now we're in a Ty Dillinger-based video game where he has to face off against different bosses
in order
to make his way to the NXT title.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
And as we've seen, he can eat losses. Ty can. Especially,
he does it a lot.
Especially in scenarios against Sanity where he's just outnumbered.
Did he, when he fought Cien Almas... Who won that one?
Almas did,
yeah.
That was almost his first match, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, maybe it was. All right.
I think so.
All right.
But since they're crafting the story of Ty, it endears him to the crowd.
Yes.
In
losses
fact,
almost fuel his...
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
And as we saw Sunday at the Royal Rumble when he came out...
Oh, my God.
Massive pop.
Yeah.
Seemed like 50,000 people were chanting 10.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
And when he wins that NXT title
this
fall, it's going to be massive.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be absolutely huge. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. So let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Shinsuke Bobby Roode's going to be at Mania.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Because I was thinking, man, are you sure it's going to be that long? But I think it could be at SummerSlam.
It could be at SummerSlam.
It could be. Man.
That would give Bobby, spoiler, Bobby Roode wins the title. It'll give Bobby a 7-month reign.
Yeah. I was thinking, because like I was in there watching in the living room and my wife comes in and she looks and it's on a tie pin attempt on Eric Young and the camera's on Eric Young's butt. And like he has a symbol that kind of corresponds to where his butthole would be. And the symbol kind of looks butthole-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a big kick out of that. That's why I married her. because so do I. Next.
Well, do you think this is the end of the Eric Young, Ty Dillinger
I hope
program?
Not. I think they're going to go another round on the regular NXT television
I think
show.
So, too.
Because, no, I think Ty's going to get this was no moral victory. He needs at least a moral victory, if not a real victory. I would think he kind of needs a real victory, to be honest with you. And I think at this point, Eric Young and Sanity have established their dominance. Eric Young can afford to eat a loss that they can do it so that Eric Young doesn't look weak.
Yeah.
Sanity, it's important to keep Sanity, the group, strong as opposed to necessarily the individual
members.
I think the only person you kind of need to keep looking really strong in Sanity is Damo.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm going to keep on calling him Big Damo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Moving on. Andrade Cien Almas versus Roderick Strong. Now, this threw me for a loop because I thought I dug a hole for myself in our predictions. Because I was like, when I was watching, I was like, man, why didn't I go for Roderick Strong? This makes perfect sense for him to win. Turns out I did actually go.
You did.
I did predict Roderick Strong, and you predicted Almas. Roderick Strong ended up going over. Like we figure, this is a very strong match. The fact that Almas has fists screen printed on his knees, on his knee pads, is very apropos because he uses those knees like their fists. And it's great. I love it.
This was a really stiff match.
It was a very stiff match. But you know what's funny? Is that we've seen matches with both these guys versus Oney Lorcan, and the Oney Lorcan matches were stiffer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So why is he missing from this equation?
Yeah, Oney works stiff.
I'll be honest. I love Oney Lorcan, and I kind of prefer – I like Andrade Cien Almas. I don't know enough about Roderick Strong to really get a good grasp on him.
We know he's really good in the ring. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's really fun to watch. He's really good in the ring.
But we have zero sense of his character.
Correct. Yeah.
Whereas Almas is doing really great character work right now.
Oh, amazing.
His
character work
in the ring is really good.
I love him in the ring. He's just brutal, man.
I know.
He's just brutal. But he still does that shit where he like goes into the second ropes and
I know,
poses.
I know.
It's a really, really interesting blend of it's like a Lucha Strong style, you know? Mm-hmm, because there's like definite Lucha influence there. Like it's heavy on Lucha. But then it's his own version of Strong Style. I really, really like his work.
With great character work.
With amazing character work. With really, really good character work. I want him to start racking up some meaningful wins.
And I thought that's why I picked Almas to win this match. He's been doing really good work, and he needs a win.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, Strong eliminated him from the Fatal 4-Way match to determine the number one contender about a month ago or so.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, here's my thing about this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But after the main event, in hindsight, Strong winning made perfect sense.
And also the thing is you cannot sort of handicap Strong out the gate.
Oh, I know.
You can't start having him because Almas can eat. He can eat losses.
Well,
can have wins.
Almas could win by cheating and doesn't really affect Roderick Strong.
Yeah, I know. But it can't like here's my problem with it. We don't know enough about Roderick Strong to accept him as a loser off the bat. If, like, all things being equal, we know so much about Almas and because of who his character is and what he's been able to show us of his character that we're intrigued in him as a Rudo, as a villain.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong, all we know about him is that he says he's really good.
Yeah.
We know him in the ring, but in terms of his character. And so it'd be kind of odd to start off with losses with Roderick Strong.
Oh, I understand
because
that.
We don't know enough about him.
Excuse me, I understand that.
It'll be interesting to see if that win does coincide with what you're talking about in the main event scene. If they're going to push that so soon, it wouldn't surprise me if they did because he's a big deal.
Especially, well, let's get to the main event first, and we'll revisit that.
Okay. We'll map out a course there.
Yes.
DIY versus the Authors of Pain. Now, I think you were really praising the main event. This was my match of the night.
Yeah. Well, both this and the main event were both really good.
And here's why I like them so much. Because NXT, as much as they want it to be a third brand, I think one of its strongest points is that it is a developmental brand. And thematically, that fit in perfectly with this match and the Rude match in that DIY is a team that fits so perfectly in a feud against the Revival. And they exhausted so much of who they were in fighting the Revival. and they invested all that it with that feud specifically. So this was, you can't do the same thing twice.
Yeah. And Corey Graves, I remember, made a point of saying that everything that DIY did in the previous match against Revival to win was not working against the Authors
of
Pain.
Exactly. And that was the story, especially here. And in my opinion, to a lesser degree in the main event, but especially here, you saw them sticking to the same blueprint. And it's like, no, the NXT is where people come to get better,
yeah,
to prepare for more.
Yeah.
And if you don't keep up with that level of development,
yeah,
then you're going to be left behind very quickly. You're going to be turned over pretty quickly. Look at the Revival, what happened to them, and look at, you know. And so DIY wrestled their Revival match against guys who you can't, it's not going to work with them.
No.
Because they will simply stand up and powerbomb you on top of each other. A couple little things about this. Number one, I loved the Authors of Pain, what they came out in.
Yes.
This is the most perfectly branded tag team I have seen, my God, in forever. Everything about them is that name, Authors of Pain, is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It is such a great name. Their look, like when they had like some mesh combat shit on with like some weird, like fucking awesome, and then Ellering's there, and they've got these great video packages, yeah, like these video vignettes that, yeah, they did. Everything about these guys.
Their theme song is metal as fuck, but it's also the way it's, yeah, syncopated is, yeah, unsettling because the beat changes up so often.
Exactly.
And it gets you off kilter.
They are the branding across the board NXT right now is so strong.
Yeah. But the branding, the character development, by and large, and the storytelling, especially in the takeover events, are so good.
They are so good. And this is supposed to be a weak... This is supposed to be a weak lineup. I've heard this in several different places,
yeah,
including Wrestling Observer, where they say, well, this is one of the weaker lineups. I am thoroughly impressed with everybody on,
yeah,
this card.
Yeah.
They have done such a great job. They are in such a great groove right now. And like I said, they did a lot of the same spots. Another thing I did appreciate about the Authors was... when they did the spot where...
the powerbomb neckbreaker and didn't get a pin. And I don't know the name of the Authors of Pain they did a close-up on.
Mm-hmm.
But he sold... because in one sense, this is a story of DIY learning the hard way that, mm-hmm, what they did before isn't good at working.
Yeah.
It's also the story of Authors of Pain being challenged, really, yeah, for the, yeah, first time.
And learning to win.
Yes.
Learning to win.
And so,
yeah,
that when they did the powerbomb neckbreaker spot, and I think it was Gargano kicked out...
yeah.
They cut to a close-up of one of the Authors of Pain, yeah, guys, and his reaction was perfect.
It
added so much dimension to them as characters.
Yeah, I know.
Which they really needed.
Because they're supposed to be mindless killing machines, but they're men.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
They're men. One part I liked, and it was the spot they always... or they don't always do, but I think it was... I'm pretty sure it came from both men being in submission positions, mm-hmm, like they did with their Revival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then one of the guys gets up with Gargano on him.
Picks him up and body slams
picks
him on.
Body slams
on Ciampa,
but
yeah.
Did you see how dainty he was with his body slam?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He basically placed him on top of Ciampa while trying to make it look like a body slam, which I was very appreciative,
yes,
of.
Yes.
You know, I would rather them be safe than be dangerous and just to try to make it look like a brutal,
yes,
spot. You know,
exactly,
because they have enough brutality,
yes,
in their repertoire.
Yes.
Another thing that really clicked for me here, and I think it was just seeing the level of opponent for him, but Tommaso Ciampa, I'm almost sad that he's in a tag team, because that dude's face, the whole psycho killer gimmick thing that I know he had in the indies and,
yeah,
people still reference it, he is such an interesting looking guy, and we know he can talk. We know he's got a really interesting move set. I'm not, because I love DIY and I like Gargano and him together.
Yeah.
And what we've seen with them together is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm almost kind of sad that we're not getting Ciampa as a singles wrestler.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I haven't seen a lot of his singles work in the indies.
Yeah, me neither.
But he has a match against, oh man, I forgot who he wrestles. At Battle of Los Angeles,
mm-hmm,
this last year, and it's really good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interesting character stuff he does just in the course of one 12-minute match.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he seems like the type of guy who's very versatile in terms of his character.
Mm-hmm.
He could probably do a lot of really interesting stuff if,
yeah,
he were to ever go solo.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, he's not young, but he's not.
No, he's not terribly old either.
Terribly old either, so there's still lots of time for him. I really, really like DIY, though. I wasn't sad to see. I think the thing about NXT that I love is that they just keep the train moving. They just keep the train moving.
And when they have this rematch between Authors of Pain and DIY, it'll force DIY to do something new.
Yeah, exactly. Because I like when Corey Graves also said, oh, we should mention them before this.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Graves announced his departure from NXT. This was his final takeover. I'm sad, but also excited because, you know, as we both personally know, sometimes you got to move on to move forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome for him. He's going to concentrate on Raw and 205
Live.
Yeah.
I mean,
that dude works a heavy schedule.
Yes.
So we both kind of saw this coming. And then his replacement, Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who did great work during the UK tournament.
Did fantastic work. He was on the pre-show. He takes everything seriously. But he's very, I don't know, he's not trying to impose his will on the show, man.
Yeah.
He's just bringing his expertise to the table.
Yeah.
Oh!
It was so refreshing watching NXT and during primarily Bobby Roode's entrance and Shinsuke's.
Yeah.
No one talked.
Yeah, I know.
No one talked.
I know. Yeah, Corey Graves held off on a little bit to start going in on Bobby. Yeah. No, that was really nice. So yeah, DIY, they lost the titles to the Authors of Pain. I thought it was fantastic.
It was really good match.
Yeah. Then we had, again, you know, it's NXT, so whatever happens here, even if it's carryover from the main roster or if it's spillage.
It's still canon.
It's still canon, and it's really well booked. Seth Rollins showed up, not in gear. He was wearing his, like, I think his Academy merch or something. I don't know what it was, or a band shirt. He shows up, gets in the ring, interrupts the show, calls out Triple H. Triple H...
Well, like you should say that Seth Rollins' promo is one of the most impassioned promos he's probably ever done in his life.
I know.
At least in WWE.
It was so good, and it happened on NXT. They know how to book that shit. It's great. I loved it. Like, you see, like, in the NXT aesthetic, because they kind of warm things up a little bit
in their
color timing. So you got to see Seth in that. And I like it because he's returning to NXT. He was the first NXT champion, right?
But even it was great how they handled it. It wasn't like a setup thing. They were up at the broadcast desk, and the commentators were doing like an on-camera thing, and then they were, you know, they heard a commotion behind them. They turned around, and Seth started talking, and it cut to Seth in the ring.
Yeah.
It seemed very spur of the moment.
And then Triple H shows up at the top of the ramp and just doesn't say anything and just sort of...
motions for security to come out.
And then a bunch of really, really tiny security guards come out, little Performance Center guys. I'm thinking to myself, these are the same guys who couldn't take Asuka or Nikki Cross 4-1. And then, so like their power rankings are like Thirsty Man rankings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
Seth started laying into him.
And of course, it took 7 of them to get Seth out of the ring. And then he subsequently was banned from the Alamo Dome.
Yeah, at the Rumble.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then we had our women's title Fatal 4-Way.
And they managed to do a really good job of crafting some little interesting stories between all four participants in this match. They did a pretty good job of that.
The giant, massive hole in logic.
Yeah, you want to talk about this.
That could have been so easily resolved, and it's surprising that nobody along the way decided to resolve it.
Well,
because everybody on my Twitter timeline.
No, I know, but if you look back at how the match was booked, there was never really an opportunity for Billy Kay and Peyton Royce to pin the other.
Oh, yeah, there was.
When
they had both Asuka and Nikki Cross down at one point.
Wasn't Asuka starting to kind of get back up? Or did they take her off the mat to get her back
in
the ring?
I think they took her off. There was one point. Here's why I think this is true. Because at one point, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay took 10 seconds. And I honestly thought this was how it was going to go down. They did the thing where they like shook hands or they grasped hands a little bit and gave themselves like a nod of, okay, we're going to do this now. And then they went down and got Asuka. At that moment, I thought for sure that Billy Kay was going to lay down and Peyton Royce was going to pin her.
I think Corey Graves said at one point when they were getting Asuka back in the ring that they made a point of saying, Billy Kay and Peyton Royce made a point of saying, I guess at some point, that they wanted to get the pin.
They did. They did. They wanted to get the pin together. However, that wasn't drilled into the story enough so that lots of people weren't confused by it. It was that kind of thing because they did say that, But there, that needed to be addressed. It's a fatal four-way. The champion doesn't have to be pinned.
Yeah.
And if they want the title, somebody, one person has, it's one person's coming away with that title.
Yeah, one of them has to lay down, eat the pin, and then they both win the title.
There is no, we share the time. They can say we're both sharing the title. Yeah. And I understand, because I think I had sort of remembered it, and then Corey Graves pointed it out, that they, and that's why when they went for a pin attempt on Asuka, like Peyton Royce went for the pin,
and Billy Kay kind of pressed kind on of her back.
Pressure on it. But that wasn't part of the story enough, I think, to not have addressed it more.
They should have made it more of a point, because like, if they want to say, okay, we want to be champion together, so we are going to pin
exactly
Oscar,
they should have really
Nikki
hammered
Cross.
That point home.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever. I mean, it was a fun match.
Yeah, Nikki Cross, her character work, especially when she's not going like
cartoonishly crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her still moments. So good.
Oh, they're so good.
So good.
She's such a star. I love her so much. She's fantastic. And I like that there was no sanity interference here. I still feel like that's probably going to be the story that's told.
In Orlando?
In Orlando.
Yeah, when it's pretty obvious it's going
to
be Asuka.
It has to be a one-on-one, yeah. And then maybe she'll have to deal with Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. I'm not sure how they're going to fit into the picture, because they don't seem like... I would think that they're going to put the strap on them at some point, and they'll co-share it. That seems like a thing. I just don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
it seems like Nikki Cross is next in line.
I would think so.
Ember Moon at some point as well.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's a lot of, you know, like the way Peyton and Billy Kay approached things at the beginning, they knew they had, essentially seemed like they knew they had no chance with all four men in the ring. So they, you know, got outside, waited for an opportunity, and then
there were some
tried
good spots
to attack
too.
The suplex they did on Nikki Cross through the table.
Yeah,
was
off
really
the
good.
Announce table onto like a table that was
yeah.
there. Yeah, that
the
was
only
really
the only qualms I had about this match is that it just ended kind of abruptly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It was by no means like a, it was not a 5-star match. But it
had some fun moments though.
It had some fun moments. I sort of go back and forth on Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. They're getting to be very good at their job.
Yes.
They are getting to be very good at their job. When they, during the pre-show, they announced the winners of all the different awards that they were doing, and they won breakout stars, I think.
Hmm.
And they came to accept the award, and they were very, it was a contrast for me, because they came off as very, very good, very comfortable in their characters. And then when Ember Moon got up there to do some analysis or to some pre-show analysis, she felt very much like, ooh, the cameras are on. Ooh. Like, she was not that polished. She was good. I think we mentioned this during the live stream. She comes off as such a grounded individual, and that takes away from the mystique. There's no mystique there, but she has like red eyes.
I know.
And so it's like, you know what? We want you to be more than just a person who dresses up in a costume. We want you to be that person.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so she, you know, it's developmental. She hasn't had a lot of time on the mic. I think that she's good on the mic. She's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Just needs to
develop a character.
Right. Yeah, she does. And I think that was, to me, in stark contrast, that made me look again at Peyton Royce and Billy Kay and say, oh, wow, they're actually, in contrast, they're coming along very strongly, you know? Where they fit in the title scene, and are they going to be like, they're not going to, you know, I feel like there's probably... Asuka's going to have a massive career. I think Nikki Cross, especially, she's going to have a really good career, because I'm pretty sure she's young. And Ember Moon, I think the world of her.
Yes.
It's just Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. They're really good at what they're doing. I just don't know if they're like, I mean, you need a strong upper mid card, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that they're going to be a good addition to the main roster in a year.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then we had, Asuka retained.
Yeah. Let's talk about this main event.
Okay.
I texted you after watching it and said this match was Shinsuke's best match he's had in NXT since his debut against Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And while it didn't have necessarily the frenetic action of that match or a whole lot of huge spots in terms of storytelling and the pace of it, it was so well done.
Yeah.
The leading into this match, they set up that Bobby Roode had been keeping an eye on Shinsuke since he debuted in Dallas against Sami Zayn. And that played out to perfection during the course of this match. It was literally like Bobby Roode had a strategy to counter everything that Shinsuke did.
Yeah.
And once Shinsuke kind of went outside of his normal approach with the Kinshasa on the apron.
Yes.
Then that's what cost Shinsuke the match. Yes. So that's when he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
Just a brilliantly told story.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby Roode's amazing. He's the best.
One of the best showmen in wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What did you think of his entrance where he had like 12 women?
It's been the weakest of his takeover entrances to date.
Yeah.
His first one's still the best. And he's on that platform in Brooklyn. That was so good.
I know. It was so good. This was a bit more pedestrian. You know what kind of killed it for me too? Was immediately when he... Okay, so the models are out there and then he shows up. And two of the models look over at him and they kind of chuckle a little bit because it's so ridiculous what they're supposed to be genuflecting over. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like he's sitting there, he's this asshole with a very shiny coat or a robe.
Yeah.
And there's like a spotlight on him and this silly song. Like we love it because of the theatrics of it.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. Like, oh my God, it's an amazing song and it's so singable. It's so catchy.
Yeah.
And he's so perfect. They're probably not wrestling marks. And so they see this guy and they're like, what is this?
Yep.
And so that kind of killed the whole model thing, right? Because you can see their face. One of them goes like this and sort of chuckles. Like, oh, man.
I was upset they didn't have the little turnstile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
they have it NXT TV.
Yeah.
I love that.
And even he looked kind of like when he came out with them, he looked like a tiniest bit self-conscious about it.
Well, like the timing was off from his usual entrance because usually it goes through the whole chorus of the song one whole time. And then he comes out or he's turning on the turnstile. And then when it comes back, the vocals come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he does the raises his arms in a glorious stance and his name comes up on the Titantron.
Yeah, yeah.
The timing was a little bit off this time, it seemed like.
But once the match started, it was on and it was on a crack and it was really, really good. I loved the last 5 minutes of the match, especially when Nakamura hit his finisher on Roode and then went down in, you know, a heap of pain because he had to use his knee to execute it. And then Roode and Nakamura sold Roode's finishers like a beat. Like he basically looked like he spiked himself.
Yeah. And then after the first DDT, Roode's reaction not getting that pin was amazing. So good.
It was so good. Like he can like throw his head up and react like better than anybody else. Like that reaction, it's so pronounced. It was so good. And then he scurries to the corner and like turns around and looks at the fans as if to say, what else do I have to do?
But then he gathers himself, puts Shinsuke in a half crab,
and then
starts punching his injured knee.
Yeah, that was great.
Great.
And Nakamura selling it the entire time, just screaming out in pain. And it's like, these are the kind of losses that Nakamura can totally take. He doesn't have he doesn't have to be undefeated, you know? It's like, everybody makes a mistake. You chipped away a little bit at his mystique.
Which gives...
It humanizes him.
And it's an opportunity to add dimension to the character. Mm-hmm,
exactly, yeah. I was happy about that because I was afraid they were going to make Roode into a cowardly heel.
Yes.
And instead, he...
It
was all about strategy and opportunity in the ring. You know, it's like he did catch a break.
Yeah.
You know.
There was that spot kind of halfway through the match where Shinsuke's setting him up for Kinshasa after the exploder suplex.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waiting for Bobby to get up, and Bobby doesn't.
Yeah.
And you can see Shinsuke sold it really well, just the frustration.
Frustration, yeah.
And so he goes over to Bobby. Bobby rolls him up, tries to get a pin.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's like Bobby had scouted Shinsuke so thoroughly.
If I stand up, I'm screwed, so I guess we'll stand down.
Every one of his patented signature moves.
Yeah.
And he had a counter for it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then really good match.
So Roode ends up going over and... the era of Bobby Roode. So are we thinking right now, let's lay this map out here.
So we have 2 months till TakeOver Orlando.
I'm assuming that's going to be the rematch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shinsuke would probably debut...
The Raw after Mania. Or shortly thereafter.
You would think so.
And, I mean, I could see them not going directly from Roode Shinsuke to Roode Dillinger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why having Roderick Strong win...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily saying that's a takeover main event match, but that's a good intermediate storyline for Roode until he has his match against Dillinger for the belt.
How many months between Mania and SummerSlam?
Four.
four. I would actually, dude, I'll be honest with you. I actually think that Dillinger,
it could be.
I think that's going to be next.
So it'd be a 7 month reign for Bobby.
Because Dillinger, like, especially given what we saw at the Rumble, Dillinger
is massively over.
But I would really, well, let's see here. The draft, if they hold to what they did last year, the draft was in
July.
Now there's rumors that they want to do it earlier, but something tells me that hasn't even been decided yet.
Nope.
Draft is in July. Draft was after SummerSlam. Oh, it was that weird, like,
it was
right
before.
Sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
okay.
It was mid July. I think July 19th.
Yeah, because I could see Dillinger coming up in the draft. I could see that. I'm not saying I want to see it. I could see it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I could see Dillinger Rude coming up next after Mania.
That could be. But then, you know, I mean, I still wouldn't be surprised if there is one feud for Bobby between.
I wonder because
Shinsuke and Ty.
Because Roderick Strong is so. He's so top level. And yet he's still pretty new to NXT.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would have him bypass. Yeah, okay, so who's the most recent guy to sort of bypass it all and hop straight to. I mean, Mojo didn't. He sort of bypassed everything, but he was.
Well, he was in NXT for a while, for a little while.
Well, yeah, and
Kevin Owens was hardly in NXT. He's only in NXT for a few months.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm looking for. He was champion, but he basically, you know, he was there for half a second.
Yeah.
Trying to think of somebody else top name that went straight to main, but spent some time in NXT. I know right now there's like comments lighting up.
I mean, Apollo Crews did not spend a lot of time in NXT.
You're right. That's a good name. And he was a lot sort of greener than Roderick Strong. I don't think he'd been around nearly as long as Roderick Strong had. No. And he went up. And who knows if that was, you know, what they say. Is that Kevin Dunn fucking with Triple H or is that legit? Regardless, I could see Roderick Strong possibly going up to, like, he seems like a SmackDown guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He really seems like
He seemed like a guy that could be drafted.
He could be, like, tell me he couldn't be immediately in that upper mid card that's sort of lacking right now, you know?
I mean, he the fans would love him because of his in-ring performance, and he could start to work on a character.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even between, you know, assuming the draft happens again in July, that's still 6 months, give or take, that he could start working on a character.
Yeah.
That works for him.
So I could see him bypassing, or I can see him really trying to build his brand in NXT. I think that'd be wise. I think it's worked for so many others so far.
Yes.
So it would probably be wise to do that. But, you know, there's only one title. So. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I thought it was a strong takeover. I'll put it this way. After getting DIY Revival, we've been through so many rematches at this point. I'm kind of, who did Asuka feud with last?
Mickey James.
That wasn't really a feud, though.
I know, but that was her last takeover match.
That was her last take.
Before that was Bayley.
Before that was Bayley. She has not really feuded with anybody then. Man.
So maybe we'll get a couple months of Asuka and Nikki Cross.
So, that's sort of my thing, though. Like, we seem to be, with the exception maybe of the tag division, we're fairly reloaded. You know, we've got a lot of strong male singles competitors. The women's division is stacked right now.
Yeah. I mean, the tag division isn't bad, except with...
Who's in the tag division?
Well, with Shane Thorne getting hurt, takes TM6-1.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
the only,
yeah.
The only really
I always forget about
top-level face tag team is DIY.
DIY, yeah.
So that kind of needs... They need a modest reload.
Yeah, they do. They do. But, you know, that I think that's why I'm really loving it right now, because they've reloaded the other divisions, and Sanity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sanity's in there. They need to start getting Damo and Alexander Wolf together in some tag matches.
You know, but after American Alpha...
What happened to that other dude? Did you ever find out what happened to that guy?
I thought he got hurt. I thought he hurt his shoulder or something. Okay. Remember when, after the draft, we were worried, you know, oh, no, the tag division is so thin.
Yeah.
And then... Authors of Pain, they built them up so quick.
They did. They really did. Those guys, boy, they did a great job branding those, man.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you. Insanity, hell of a job. So, yeah, all good stuff. And, you know, with signing Chris Hero around the corner, you know, who knows where he's going to end up. So, yeah, good takeover.
Yes.
It was enjoyable. It's always a good show.
Very much so.
Anyways, that's it for now.
Do you want to open stuff?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. So we have our Newsplex set over there, so we've been hitting people up.
Yeah.
You guys can send us some crap for us to open here on the show. We have 9 packages, so we're going
to spread out over this week, huh?
Over this week. So
this
we're gonna...
one is from Dennis Vanta.
Okay. This one is from Jay Kujowski, or Kujowski, Kajowski. Kajowski. Sorry, Jay. Messed up your name. The address is in the description. It's P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662. If you guys want to contribute, I'm going to get some frames. We're trying to make our Newsplex set. Yes! Power Slam WCW Wrestling.
Dennis Rodman.
The Worm. That's the Worm right there, man.
Look at this Kevin Nash figure here with
In the hell is that?
It's a weird wolf pack. I think that's a missile launcher.
So he comes with like a thing, like a little accessory there, and it looks like there's a missile. So it looks kind of like one of them strongman things at the circus.
Yeah, I was going to say like
where
that.
Where you hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, but then I don't know.
But instead, at the top, there's a wolf head from like wolf pack.
But I can't tell if it's connected to the. There's a clear rod that connects the base. And keeps the little missile thing. I can't tell if that's connected to the wolf or not.
Buff Bagwell's there with... Who's with Buff Bagwell?
I have no idea.
This is so confusing. Is that Ric Flair? Is that supposed to be Lil Nate? Who is that supposed to be?
I can't read what... there's something on the shirt and I can't read it.
I like they have Hardcore Hack in there too.
And they have Sid.
Oh, they have Sid too.
Right there.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Hack. They have a Hogan...
Yeah, I have no idea what that says.
Ooh, it's a Stacy Keibler picture.
Oh,
nice. Let's take a look. Ooh, wow! In a very classy evening gown. This is like, and it's signed too.
Cool.
Very classy. Let's see what Jay has to say. He says, "Hey, friendo, been a long time listener / watcher, and wanted to contribute to your new set. Hopefully, in the next month or so, I'll be making a monetary donation. So stay tuned. It'd be welcome if you can. If you can't, no big deal." For now, enjoy this autographed picture from an 03 Detroit Auto Show. Note how they misspelled her name. It's supposed to be I before E, except after C. Love the podcast. Your humor banter is perfect for a guy like me. 35 and more grizzled by the day. Yeah, amen to that, brother. Keep up the good work, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Give me that action figure really quick.
See if you can tell what that shirt says.
So much I want to
know. I can't tell what that shirt says.
It says.
You had LASIK.
It says the Federation. Is that supposed to be. Did he have like a little mini Vince guy or something?
I don't know.
Why does Sting have a cutout? He has a.
He was in a program with Macho Man at some point, right?
So, but at any point, did he have a life size, a less than life size
cardboard cutout of Macho Man? I don't know.
Macho Man? Canyon just has steel steps. Hulkster has a little mini wall with some Sting graffiti on it, I assume. Sid Vicious has the tiniest looking, like...
He's got a piece of, like, the
display
the,
column.
Yeah, the Titantron supports.
Piper has bagpipes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Hardcore Hack has... Is that, like, a hot dog stand?
Yeah, it looks like a hot dog cart.
Kind of like that. And then Goldberg has some sort of training apparatus. No, that's a ring post.
Yeah, and turnbuckles.
Turnbuckle. Kevin Nash is completely...
I don't understand that at all.
It is so... It's so elaborate, too.
I know.
Like, everybody else has weird, simple shit, but he's got this weird missile going up to a... I don't
know. A wolf's head, maybe, if it's attached, but I can't tell.
This is bizarre. This has got us very confused. What does Robin have? Oh, of course. Backboard. Anyways, we're going to put this on this one right here.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to say thanks to everybody out there. Yeah, we've got more packages to open in the next couple episodes coming up. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
So thank you for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.